Blog Talk Radio.
There's some dangerous large carnivore out there.
Yeah, I saw that bird get a young deer off the road from a mile away.
And it was just about getting dark, and we started panicking, running down the bridge, not really having any clue what was throwing rocks in our vicinity, good-sized rocks. And I stopped long enough to get a 357 out of my backpack and look back, and that's when I saw it. I saw one.
For a week, the town of Defiance was being harassed by a werewolf. And it's actually attacked two railroad workers, killed livestock. You know, just a lot of weird stuff that was going on.
Say your prayers and go on. Don't forget my son to include everyone. I suck you in, all within. Keep you free from sin till the Sandman he comes. Sleep with one.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Monster X Radio, where X marks the spot for everything cryptid. Sunday, August 10th, 2014. I'm your host, Johnny Bigfoot. With me tonight are my co-hosts, Sasquatch Coffee founder, Gunnar Monson, and Bigfoot enthusiast, Crystal. How you guys doing tonight?
Crystal, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Now, everyone, be sure to log into the chat room, because we'll be drawing one lucky winner to receive an autographed copy of the Bigfoot book, Eve. The drawing will be done after the break, the top of the hour, so you have until then to get in the chat room. Well, let's start off by talking some Bigfoot news, and then we'll welcome our guest. I'm sure a lot of you saw this week one of the big things that was going around was the bipedal bear that somewhat looked like a Bigfoot.
You know, it didn't really look like a Bigfoot to me. Little short legs. I've never heard a Bigfoot with little short legs.
Yeah, it was filmed in New Jersey on, well, this phone says August 4th, but I believe there was a couple different videos. I mean, like three people have filmed this thing in their neighborhood. It was pretty interesting, though.
It was a talented bear.
Somebody said, like, didn't it say somebody thought something was wrong with one of its front legs? That's why it was compelled to walk on two legs.
Yeah, according to the filmer,
that's
what they thought. But I mean, I guess it'd be hard to tell. There's just something, I don't know if creepy is the right word, about seeing something walking on two legs like that.
Right. And like Digger's saying in the chat room, I don't think anybody was claiming it was a Bigfoot. It just was an interesting video of a bear spending an extended amount of time walking on its back legs.
Yeah, but you know, if it was dark out and you were in a wooded area, I could see the mind wandering.
Yeah, giving you something to think about.
Yeah, if it walked by on two legs, I would definitely be confused probably about what I was seeing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Some people were joking that it was a person in a costume.
Yeah.
And then what else do we have going on? We have the North Texas Paranormal Conference being hosted by our past guest, Bob Dominguez, the Chupacabra Hunter. This is happening on August 30th, 2014 in Arlington, Texas. He's going to have Luke Gross discussing his 17 years of Sasquatch research in the cryptozoology field, as well as paranormal talk. People will be allowed to ask questions and share their personal experiences. Looks
That'll
like a
be
good
cool.
time. Yeah, it's kind of a mix. It's cryptozoology and the paranormal. And then we have the Olympic problem.
What's that?
We've got the Olympic Project Bigfoot Expedition.
Right. I was there earlier this year. It was fun. I mean, they had, you know, lots of good food and good times. You know, I didn't have anything really Bigfooty happen, but I think not fairly recently they got some interesting thermal up in that area, so.
Yeah, looks like a good time. This one's going to be September 19th through the 21st. It's open to the public. I believe there's still spots available. They just added Ron Moorhead and Todd Ness to the list of researchers that are going to be there.
And their mission is aimed more toward, it seems like, outdoor skills and, you know, maybe a little bit of survivalist, not training, but along those lines, as well as Bigfoot-related, you know,
well, their mission is they are working on predictability. They're trying to document things different time of year. I mean, they're being very meticulous about documenting.
Oh, okay.
All that kind of stuff, and when they go out. Yeah, but they're trying to predict patterns and they're one of the few organizations I see that are documenting things to the degree that they are.
Oh, okay. And so they take part in that even when they are going out on public expeditions?
Mm-hmm. Well, they still document. Yeah, they still document
right.
stuff.
Yeah, I assumed. I thought that they had aimed it more toward, you know, safety of being in the outdoors and a little bit of survival training and, you know,
they
things
do,
like that.
Yeah.
I also thought that I had seen, do they have it hooked up with another expedition type outing where they walk maybe for heart health and things like that? I thought I had remembered reading something like that on their website. Maybe the Ridgewalkers website, is that also affiliated?
Oh, that's Derek's business, because he's also a guide, like a wilderness. He'll take people
out. Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Maybe I have the two, you know.
Yeah, there's two separate things going on there. But
oh,
they do a presentation of what you should have in your backpack and, you know, that the importance of being prepared when you go out and, you know, if you're not ready to squatching, if you're not prepared, properly prepared, you're not going to be focused on finding evidence. You're going to be focused on not dying. So.
Oh, okay. That's a
so
good
are they focused
point.
On the same area every time they go out?
The same general area. I mean, different, you know.
Okay.
Different locations within a close proximity.
Okay. Yeah, and if you want to contact them about that, you can go on Facebook and visit Derek Randall's or contact their email at ridgewalkers@ymail.com. Looks like a good experience. A lot
yeah,
of learning.
Fun. We had Dr. Meldrum spoke, Cliff Berrickman spoke, Derek gave a presentation. So, yeah. We've got some intense thinking. We've got a couple things going on out here. We've got the 23rd of August, we're having the Bigfoot Bash and Bounty up in Home Valley Park, Washington. So that'll be fun. They're having Joe Beeler, who I just saw speak at Hopsquatch last month, is doing a presentation. Tom Powell, who wrote The Locals, I think everybody's familiar with, is going to speak. Colleen Meacham, who I just hung out with at Beachfoot, is doing a presentation. And then Guy, who's happens to be my webmaster for the coffee website. So I'll give him a plug. He does a great job. And is, of course, the host of the Bigfoot Lunch Club and Hopsquatch Portal, doing a presentation. Then on the 30th,
very cool.
In Willow Creek, they're having the Bigfoot Days Festival, which I know that our guest, J.M. Bailey, will be at. So that should be cool with that if you can make it.
Yeah, that looks like a fun time. That's the center of the Squatch universe.
It's a mecca.
A lot going on then.
Yep. Of course, that's just a stone's throw away from, Bluff Creek, so.
Yes. And how far is that from Portland?
Oh, it's a little bit of a drive. Probably, I don't know, 8 hours.
Okay. Are you going to attend that one?
I'm thinking about it. I'm definitely going to the Bigfoot Bash and Bounty. I might even take some coffee to sell.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, anyone have any other news, or should we get to our guest?
I'm ready. I'm chomping at the bit.
All right. Okay. And now for the guest of the evening. She's a Bigfoot researcher and enthusiast who lives in the Pacific Northwest. She's the author of two books, Eve and Iron Mountain Ridge, which are both fictional books about Bigfoot. Eve is also currently being made into a film, and the director will be joining us as well tonight. So welcome, J.M. Bailey, to the show. Welcome.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me on.
Hi.
Hi, J.M. Thanks for coming.
Oh, my pleasure. This has been, I've been excited all day for this show.
Nice.
So we're having, we know that it's Dom. How do you say Dom's last name?
It's Orozco.
Orozco.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know if he's called in yet. He said he might call in a little bit late. He was on his way to a shoot. So I think I gave you his area code so that you can watch for the call.
He is here too.
Oh, cool. Hey, Dom.
I will let him on now.
Okay, cool.
Welcome to Monster X Radio, Dom.
Thank you very much. How are you guys doing?
Well.
Great. Exciting to hear that you guys are making this book into a movie.
Yeah, some good stuff.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
So what made you want to put it into film, J.M.?
Well, I think all the feedback I got from everybody, when the book kind of was released, even before then, I had reviewers reading it, and of course my husband, and everyone kept saying, this should be a movie. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. The likelihood of that happening is like seeing Bigfoot. So I just kind of, I thought, well, yeah, it'd be great if it was a movie, because it's a completely different story than what we typically see a Bigfoot movie as. And so I happened to work with somebody who is close to Dom, and we got a book to him, and it's kind of history from there. But Dom has the best story about how he thought of making, how this came to be, how we kind of connected. So I'll turn it over for him to tell that story, because it's a great one.
Yeah, we were just coming off of shooting another movie, and we just finished about 36 hours straight shooting, and we'd wrapped, and we were pretty exhausted, and we got a package in the mail, and I opened it up, and it's a book about Bigfoot, and the author had written in there, your sister thought you might like this. And so I called my sister, Renata, and said, why are you having somebody send me a book on Bigfoot? I remember I was really exhausted and pretty moody at the time because I just got done shooting like crazy. And she said, no, just read it. You're going to like it a lot. It's a different book. Just read it. I'm like, oh, right, whatever. And I kind of threw it off to the side and went about. And there was one night when I was pretty restless and I couldn't really sleep, so I grabbed it and started reading it, and I didn't put it down. And the next day I called JM and said, I want to go ahead and option this. And that's where it went. That's how it started.
And, of course, I about fell over when he called. I was like, what? Oh, my God. And so it's just been a nonstop ride since. And we've just completed the short film, and we're finishing up editing right now. So it's just very exciting.
Yeah. Well, it's actually fully edited, and it's fully color-corrected and what we like to call painted. And we're just now we're waiting on our composers to finish the score.
That's too cool.
It's beautiful,
nice.
Too. It's absolutely stunning. It's a stunning piece of work. Everyone is going to be amazed by it.
Is there some place that people can go and watch the trailer? I know you said I talked to you and the short isn't out yet, but there's a trailer.
Well, it's
there's
not
a clip.
A trailer.
It's not a trailer. We released a clip. And
a clip, okay.
just a small clip, and it. And to be honest with you, the clip doesn't really, you know, it shows Anna, but it doesn't, you know, we don't really want to give too much away in it, so we decided to release a pretty nondescript clip just to kind of, you know, just kind of get people's interest peaked at what was possibly going to happen.
The people who have read the book will recognize the scene in the clip immediately. And so the clip can be seen on my website. I've got a link to it. It's on the homepage, and that's at ironmountainridge.com.
Ironmountainridge.com. Cool. Yeah, I've watched it a couple times.
Yeah, yeah. You too, huh? I've watched it about a million.
Yeah. But
awesome.
I love the book. I met JM online through the coffee company and got a copy of her book, and when he said it's definitely not. I'm pretty burned out on monster Squatch movies, and this is something entirely different. Where'd you come up with the idea for your book?
Well, I didn't really come up with it. It came up with me. I like to go out into the woods and, you know, do my thing, but I always like to go by myself, because I'm kind of a loner that way. And anyway, it was up in the mountains east of Sacramento, up in the El Dorado National Forest, which is southeast of Lake Tahoe. And I was on this remote road, and I got out to take some pictures because it was, you know, of course, beautiful scenery. And I, you know, was near a mountainside, and I thought I heard some bipedal footsteps walking down the mountain. And I stopped, and I was like, whoa. And I tried to record something on my video, but, of course, I got nothing. And so then I kind of looked around, and it was, like, dead quiet, and I was all by myself. And I started thinking, what would happen if I got stuck out here by myself? And, you know, my imagination just took off from there at 100 miles an hour. And I made my way back down to the cabin I'd rented, and that night, you know, I opened up a bottle of wine and literally was just consumed with a story. And I just started thinking about it and thinking about it, like, what about this and what about this? And it, you know, it really overtook me for about 24 to 48 hours. I even, like, when I went to sleep finally, which was in the wee hours in the morning, I literally dreamed about parts of the book as it was developing. So afterwards, I kind of came out of this trance and thought, well, what do I do with this now? It's a really great story, in my head at least. And so I took a chance and just kind of started writing it down. And I'd never written anything before, literally, except for, you know, stuff for school and that kind of thing. And I write regularly for my real job, but it's not nothing like fiction. Well, some people think it's fiction, but whatever. Anyway, so I told my husband, I said, look, you know, I wrote this thing, and I just want you to listen to it. And so we sat him down and read some to him, and he was just, you know, enchanted immediately. And he doesn't read for pleasure. He's an engineer. He only reads technical stuff. And so he was just like, you have to write the rest of that. And so I did. And then I started letting a few other people read it, and it just kind of took off from there. So I wish I could say that it was inspired by true events, because I get a lot of people, I mean, literally, I get a lot of people message me, you know, like, that, are you sure you don't have repressed memories? I'm like, no. I wish. Like, I could say this is based on a true story. I wish. But it's not. And of course, you know, I've been fascinated with Bigfoot since I was a little girl. So I've read everything I can and, you know, listened to encounters and that kind of thing.
So is the character Anna is made autobiographical?
Well, sure. I mean, they say that your first novel is always somewhat autobiographical, and every author does that. Like, I'm a big Stephen King fan, and he always injects part of himself into his books and his
right.
local area and everything. So a lot of authors do it. But, yeah, I mean, it was based on, you know, kind of what my crazy brain was thinking about myself because, I mean, I go to places – and, you know, I've mellowed out since, but I was fearless for the first little while I moved to Northern California. I was like, oh, I'll try this road. And then pretty soon I'd be, you know, on a ridge with sheer drop-offs on either side going, what in the hell did I get myself into? So.
Yeah, a lot of cool places to visit down there. So.
Oh, for sure. Everywhere throughout the Northwest.
When did the book come out?
Eve was published in December of 2012, and then Iron Mountain Ridge was published in May of 2014.
So we got the short, and that's getting ready. It hasn't been released yet. Is that going to be released to the public, or?
It'll be released. It'll be released to the public, and we'll also be releasing it through some. Through some other channels as well, some short film sites. We are going to be entering it into the Sundance Film Festival as well, trying to get into there. And if you know, we're going to be entering it into different film festivals along the way, and just kind of try to build some momentum towards the feature when we start working on the actual feature for it.
So there is going to be a feature film.
Yeah, in late September, JM and my co-director, Gerald Morris, we're going to be flying up to Portland to meet with my writing partner, Megan Hurt, and we're going to spend about 4 or 5 days fleshing out the story and really deciding where the feature is in this book. And by the time we leave, we'll have basically everything that we need for the script, and then I'll go back and write the screenplay for it, and then hopefully we'll be running into pre-production and at least in the spring of 2015, and production later on that year, hopefully.
Very cool. I'm excited.
Where did you shoot? Did you shoot in the same area where you were inspired for the book, or did you choose a different location?
We tried, but we had a little bit of a fiasco. I had it all set up. And we had a little bit of a fiasco, but we ended up shooting in the Tahoe National Forest. So, yes, we did shoot in the Sierras.
Oh, okay, because I know that I had seen online a lot of people talking about, or you actually talking about how beautiful the scenery was and how I think you felt everything was being captured the way you had intended or hoped it would be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. The director of photography, John Hill, and Dominic will can talk to this, but did an amazing, an incredible job with the photography. I mean, I don't know if you'll talk about it, Dom, or what. But.
Yeah, I mean, he's He's the best cinematographer in Houston, and he came with us on this ride, and he captured everything the way we wanted it. We told, you know, when you're dealing with a cinematographer, you know, their goal is to accomplish the shots that you're coming up with, you know, and no matter how crazy it is, no matter how beautiful you want it to look, you just tell them, I need this, is what I want. And it's their goal to get that shot, whether through be the lighting, whether through be the camera angles, and he's an artist, and the guy's a madman. He's a mad scientist, and he was able to create some beautiful shots for us as, you know, really delivered what we wanted out of it and really made the most out of the scenery that we were, that in the location that we were at.
Good.
Well, and JM was on set constantly for it, so I mean, there wasn't any time there was a moment when it looked like, you know, through, you know, from the creative aspect swaying from way it would be in the story, she would be there to say, I don't think this would happen, and you know, we'd figure out a way to make sure that we were staying true to her vision always. I mean, that's what it was always about, staying true to her vision while accomplishing what we wanted through our own vision.
Yeah, I was there whether they liked it or not. But no, Dom adapted this short from the book, and so it's certain scenes in the book. It's not the entire book. And I think a lot of people, I've had many, many, many questions about that. It's like, is this the full, you know, movie in 17 minutes, or the whole book in 17 minutes, or what is it? So no, I want to be clear about that Dominic adapted parts of the book for the short film. So what you're going to see are parts of the book in the short film. And he did a phenomenal job with adaptation. He sent me this screenplay, I don't remember when it was, I think in March, and I opened it up and read it at work on my phone, and I luckily have an office that's kind of tucked away, because I was crying, you know, I'm like, you know, and so it's just really amazing what these guys were able to do. I mean, we did this in a week. We shot for 3 days. They flew in, boom, I took them to the mountains, and boom, we were on it. It was 12, 14-hour days, but the product is so, so phenomenal.
Yeah, it was
go ahead. There's two books, right? You've got Eva and you've got Iron Mountain Bridge. Is the movie going to be, like, are you going to have a movie for Eva and then the idea to have a second movie, or?
I think that's one of the things that we're going to make that decision when we're up in Portland. I mean, that's one of the things that we'll be talking about as well, is seeing if we're going to combine both books, or, you know, again, like she said, there's what I did with Eve and the script for Eve was really just try to capture the spirit of the first book and show some of the scenes that took place in that, but really the goal was to really capture the spirit of the book, because we knew that we wanted to save it for the feature. I mean, otherwise we would have gone ahead and done that in the short, but our goal has always been to shoot this as a feature, and we did it as a short just to get, like I said, get some exposure on it, get people excited about it. And so our goal is to create Eve as a separate feature and do Iron Mountain as a sequel. And then of course, there'll be the third book, which we hope to turn that, you know, have it be a trilogy.
How cool is that?
Why that book was.
It is. And now I've not read the book yet, but you guys are doing a very good job of piquing the interest. So what is it about the book or the film, Eve, that sets it apart from traditional Bigfoot movies or reads?
I think at least from a filming standpoint, and also, I mean, from a literary standpoint, it's a very well-written book. I mean, it's a very, very well-written book. And I mean that from a technical standpoint. I mean, aside from being a beautiful story, from a technical standpoint as well, it's very well written. And from a cinematic standpoint, for us, I mean, it's, you have filmmakers that aren't from, you know, we're filmmakers. That's what we do. This is what we do for a living. This is our job. And for us to be able to take a product like this and put what we know from our field and mix it with what JM knows, it's pretty exciting for us. You know, we never ever once saw ourselves as being a film company that was going to be making a movie about Bigfoot. You don't
right.
you don't start a film company and set out to make a movie about Bigfoot, and then one and then a book comes to you and you say to yourself, how can I not make this movie? And
Dominic,
doing,
you'd be surprised what some people do out there in the world of Bigfoot.
Yeah. and we knew that we were gonna, from this kind of storytellers that we are, we knew that we were really gonna approach this from a different place than other people might approach a Bigfoot movie. You know, we were really behind the narrative and the visual side of it, at least for us as the filmmakers.
And, you know, to just go off of that really quick, as a Bigfooter, I can tell you that this, the fundamental difference between our film, Eve, and every other film that's out there, with the exception of maybe two or three, ours is not a slasher film. Bigfoot is not a monster in this book and in this film. This is a story about a relationship, mostly a relationship that the protagonist has with herself. And it's very much a story about the human condition and how Anna, the protagonist and the main character, seeks some solace and some peace of mind from the chaos that she sees in her world. And she's fascinated with the Bigfoot phenomenon, and she happens to, you know, come across it in a way that is so crazy that it envelops her. And so while the story and the book has many, many parts that are very scary, and, you know, there are parts in there that, and I'll tell you right now for the book, you know, there's plenty of F-bombs in there, because she's scared to death at first, and she's scared several times throughout the book. But it's not a slasher. It's not Bigfoot's the big main monster and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's more, I don't want to say humanistic, but I think that's the word that's going to get attached to it.
Yeah, and if the book I had read had been a slasher, then it wouldn't be a movie that we'd be making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A million out there already.
And I've read that was what was compelling for me. I hear it's being made into a movie. It's like, this is going to be a cool Bigfoot movie.
Yeah.
It must be really easy to make slasher movies about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
How are you going to deal with creating the, because Bigfoot, the actual creatures themselves, play a big part in the books. Mm-hmm. So, and how are you going to deal with, are you doing costume? Would that be or are you going to do CGI? How's that going to be dealt with?
Obviously, for a short film with a minimal budget on it, we had to go with creating a costume for it. Now, when it comes time to do the feature, that's a completely different story, because we are talking about really looking towards the motion capture arena, much like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, possibly going that route. Not just CGI, but going motion capture. Obviously, we're talking a much, much bigger budget.
Yeah.
For that, you know, we're not gonna move forward with the feature unless we know that's gonna be done right, because you know we're dealing with not just one Bigfoot, but we're dealing with a family of them when it comes time for the feature, and that has to be done correctly. We can't make that look comical or make anybody go, walk out of there just shaking their head. I won't allow that to happen before it's not going to happen before we step foot on set the first day.
And I've had that experience with just about, Harry and the Hendersons was well done for a costume, but all the slasher movies, you have to shake your head at the costume. It's like, man, that's the best they could come up with. And then people are saying that, Patty's fate. I'm like, man, you haven't seen what's coming out of. And somebody could make a better fake in the movie. You'd think.
You'd think.
But this is the cool thing about these books is you're in the Bigfoot world. I mean, it takes you past. You're not on the outside, and it's not them coming in and the experience where they're coming in to kill somebody. It's
there's a lot of interaction, and you get it's like getting a peek inside what a lot of people, and I, as a Bigfooter, it's like that's what I kind of imagine their world is like. Mm-hmm. I don't imagine, I've been around them enough to think that they're not coming to slash us, or we'd have a lot of bodies pile up in the woods.
Yeah, it'd be a lot less Bigfooters out there, wouldn't there?
Yeah. It'd be a lot. You'd have a lot less people getting into Bigfooting.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, in the second book, I really, really dive headfirst into that. I don't know if any of you read this. Gunner's read the second book, or I don't know if you finished it or not.
I'm about halfway through, man, and I had to stop reading it actually to come get on the show. So it's like, and it picks up really fast. I mean,
yeah.
In the first book, there's the buildup of how things. This one picks up really.
Yeah.
It has a lot of action. So. Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, I'm arriving at set, so I'm gonna have to go ahead and say goodbye.
Thanks, Tom, for coming on.
I really appreciate you guys having me on, and hope you guys have a great night and a great rest of the show. I'll talk to you later, Jam. Have a great night.
Hey. Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
See you, Tom.
So, so there's another book in the works. Have you started that one?
The third book?
Yes.
I have started it. those of you that are going to read through, you know, Eve and then Iron Mountain Ridge leaves with some gigantic cliffhangers, and my editor really tried to scold me and say, I don't think that's such a good idea, but I did it anyway, because I want the third, because you know, I'm that way. But the third book is going to really tie everything together. And so the third book is tentatively titled Elusive, and I'm shooting for release in spring, right when we start pre-production of Eve. I'm shooting for the release of that. And I'm also shooting for audiobook release of both Eve and Iron Mountain Ridge. Well, Eve for sure by Christmas time of this year. Iron Mountain Ridge hopefully after the first of the year.
And are you going to read those yourself?
Yes. Of course.
In the voice of the author.
Yes.
Cool.
I think, you know, if we do some readings today, I think you'll see why, because the authors, of course, knows the story the best, and, of course,
right.
The emotions and everything with it. And so... yeah, I don't wouldn't feel right having someone else read them.
Very cool. So the third book's coming out next year. Are your books available yet on Kindle?
They are.
Where can people get your books?
Can get Eve just about anywhere. Eve is wide, has a huge distribution right now. You can get it at any major e-tailer. You can get it on eBay, Amazon, Kindle, of course. You can get them from me signed, and you can get them from me. You can get paperback signed, but I obviously can't sign an e-book, but the paperback signed ones you can get from me, and you can get them at a pretty good price with shipping and handling included. And you can get those at ironmountainridge.com and click on the Buy the Books link. And you can get both books for $16, shipping included, which is a heck of a deal. And... but, yes, they're available everywhere right now. I think Iron Mountain Ridge, because it's only been out a few months, is still pretty limited distribution. The Eve is widely distributed internationally at this point.
Oh. And I see that you also have a leather bookmark on your website.
I saw those, too.
Yeah, those are from Walter Tippy.
Yes.
And I also I got the I Heart Eve pen with my book.
Yeah, that was a little bonus there.
Yeah.
Oh. And I'm going to Bigfoot Days at the end of August, and for those, I'm going to give anyone who comes to my vendor table, I'll give them a real special deal on a whole package, the bookmark, a pen, and both books. I'll give them a real special deal, but I'm not going to tell you what it is until you have to come up there to see.
And where's that again?
It's in Willow Creek.
Willow Creek, and that's on the August 30th.
Correct.
Bigfoot Days Festival.
Yeah.
And
that sounds like a great time.
You'll have the movie poster by then?
I will. I have, so we have two different posters coming out. We have a movie poster coming out for the short film, which will give all the credits of everyone who was involved with the short film. And then we'll have a movie poster of, like, coming soon. So we haven't decided which one I'm going to take up there with me yet. I may be wrong, but I might bring both of them, but we're still deciding that. But it's beautiful. What I've seen so far is really cool.
Do they do this festival every year then?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
okay.
It's a big deal up there. It's a real big deal.
Yeah, well, that's, like I was saying earlier, that's the center of the Sasquatch universe.
Mm-hmm. The Mecca, yep.
Yep.
I've been up there several times. I'm hoping to maybe get into the Bluff Creek drainage this time, but I'm not sure if that's going to work out or not.
So the, if you want an opportunity then to meet the author of Eve and Iron Mountain Ridge, it sounds like Bigfoot Day Festival on August 30th in Willow Creek is the place to be, and I bet you can get the author to autograph your book if you get it there.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm going to try to hit some other venues. It's just I was going to try to go to the Ohio Bigfoot Conference, but I was really tied up in getting the production for the short film ready, and so I had to cancel, which I was really disappointed about. Plus, I still hadn't gotten Iron Mountain Ridge published yet, so I had to cancel that. And with us working on the screenplay in September, I'm not sure, because I know there's a few different venues coming up in October. I'm not sure if I'll be able to go to any of those, but I'm going to try to make one or two of them.
Was there anything that you, what else is going on with you and Bigfoot? You still go out. I mean, you go out in the woods pretty often.
I do. I've been all over. Well, I was born and raised in Utah, so I used to go squatching there. But when I was a teenager, I also lived in Alaska for many years, and then I lived in Washington State. So I've tried to, you know, stay involved with it every place that they're at the entire time. But here in Northern California, I mean, my goodness, it's Sasquatch heaven here. I know Oregon, Washington are too. I know it's just the whole area. But, yeah, I've been out on many, 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 many trips. And I, you know, try to post pictures for all of them. I had a little bit of a scare a few weeks ago, so I'm a little bit hesitant. Like I said, I usually go out by myself because I just like to be alone when I'm out there. And I'm fully, you know, prepared. I've taken some survival courses and I'm armed and that kind of thing. But I went on a real short hike a few weeks ago up around Lake Tahoe, and I came face-to-face with a bear not 20 feet from me. And rather than run, because I see him all the time, in fact, I had a sow and two cubs run from me one time, which was, I thought for sure I was going to be dead on that one. But this guy wanted to check me out, and he was a little irritated with me. And I, of course, didn't have my bear spray. And so I had other weapons, but they were in my backpack. So I was completely unprepared, and I was very disappointed with myself. Anyway, I managed to defuse the situation, just, you know, yelled at him. And he, you know, at first he started clicking his jaw, which is not a good sign. And, you know, they have really bad eyesight, but they have an excellent smell and hearing. And he knew I was coming because I was singing Lana Del Rey at the top of my lungs around the trail, which I always do. And also he brings, you know, sticks with me, and I'll usually hit on trees for various reasons. Obviously, I'm a big footer. But he, for whatever reason, wanted to see what I was. And so I was pretty tense for about 25 seconds. And then I finally got him to run off because I yelled at him pretty loud. So since then, I've kind of had to step back and go, you know, is this such a good idea for me to keep doing this? And so I'm trying to reevaluate that right now. But, yeah, and I haven't had time this year really a lot with the film because it's been centered around that all the time. In fact, when I go to Bluff or Willow Creek, I have a few extra days up there, and I have some friends up there too that I'm going to hopefully be able to go out with them and, you know, kind of see what that's all about up there.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, so there's a movie coming out. Yeah, that's not a lot of people
okay,
that go out.
Okay, it's one of the two.
There's not that many people that go out by themselves and run around in the wilderness, even that.
Well, I think a lot of people do. I just think that, you know, it depends on, you know, where you're at, what your comfort. I literally, with this bear, and again, I got tracked. I mean, I think, I don't know if it was a mountain lion or a bobcat. I couldn't tell. A cat followed me into a trail one time behind me. I was in snow, and I walked in, and then as I walked out, I was like, oh, no, God dang it. There's these big cat prints, and I thought, ugh. But, you know, so I think it's just, this trail I was on with this bear, it was a weird thing because it was heavily used trail. There were people all over the place. In fact, I had to warn several people on my way out. So it was just one of those weird things that happened, and, you know, I'm not going to let it keep me from going again. I just need to, you know, kind of reevaluate how I do it.
Right. Good to be prepared. Don't like,
yes. And I am fully prepared, but I was not that day, so I can't
right.
be fully prepared, I guess.
Usually you're fully prepared.
Usually. 99.9% of the time. that's why I was so pissed off. I'm like, oh.
And that always seems to be the way that it goes,
I know.
Too. I mean, you could have your hands full every single trip out, and that one time when you don't, that's when something happens. And I guess, you know, that's probably a good, that probably happens to a lot of Bigfooters, too, on their, you know, little outings for
yeah.
Bigfoot. I'm sure they're heavily prepared most times, and then, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we hear about it all the time. It's like people who run into or have encounters out there, and they're always prepared except for that one time they couldn't get their camera to, you know, or it wasn't available. Or it does happen a lot.
Right.
Did you want to run?
No, I didn't actually, because with black bears, if you run, well, any bear, any predator, if you run, you're screwed. So. Because I lived in Alaska for 8.5 years, you know, I didn't have like close encounters with brown bears, with grizzlies, but they were around, and I did have one where one came pretty close. Those, you know, if they charge you and they're serious, you just drop and play dead. With a brown or a black bear, you've got to fight. So I've been bluff charged by a black bear before. And most of the time they do bluff charge you, but I was too close to him, and I knew that. And so I wanted to get out of his space, which is what you always want to do. So I knew if I ran, it would not. He might have run too. I mean, he might have run. But he was irritated, and I could tell. He wasn't severely irritated. He was more curious, but I just wanted to get out of his space. But I was prepared to fight. If he had charged me, you just have to fight. And that's why, you know, I was getting my knife ready, and you just have to do the best you can with black bears.
So you said you had an experience where you heard some bipedal footsteps,
mm-hmm.
and you were, how long ago was that?
That was in fall of 2011, yeah.
And that, evening you went in and basically, your brain went to work on writing Eve. Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah, I think that was like kind of the, it just kind of started the whole process. I think it was maybe rambling around in my brain beforehand, but I think that, because I've certainly seen some and heard strange things out in the woods. I've been out in the woods enough to have weird stuff happen. I mean, stuff happens out there that you can't always explain. But for this, you know, the footsteps, I was like, oh, okay, wait a minute, that, you know, that could be, it could be, and so that's kind of what I think, you know, made my imagination jump.
And is that, you said you've heard other weird stuff at different times?
Yeah, I have a recording of a vocalization that I got down in Yosemite that I can't explain. It's really faint, and you know, you really have to. I have not been able to clean up the acoustic enough to send it to anybody. But I've heard vocalizations that I can't explain, and you know, you always revert to what you know, like coyotes or owls or that kind of thing. But and I've seen some prints. I think I posted the collage that I'm going to take with me to Willow Creek. But I've seen prints that I can't, that look odd enough that make me go, hmm. And I've not cast any of them because they haven't been, I don't think I would have gotten a good cast out of them. I've certainly had the feeling of being watched before. I had a rock thrown one time. I think it was thrown. I was up in the Shasta Trinity National Forest on a fire break road up in the middle of nowhere, and I got out to take some pictures because I had a breathtaking vista in front of me. And I was on a pretty level slope, and all of a sudden I heard this thunk, and I looked over, and there was a big, huge rock in the road in front of me. Now, I don't know if it was there before, if it rolled down, but I, out of the corner of my eye, I caught some movement, and I, you know, but you second-guess yourself unless you see it directly. I mean, how many times do we second-guess ourselves? All the time. And so I didn't see it directly, but it was weird enough for me to get the heck out of there. And, you know, I've seen structures, you know, stick breaks and, you know, so just stuff like that. The more you're into Bigfooting, the more you start paying attention to things. And it's hard not to let your imagination go crazy and say, it's Bigfoot. And so and I think a lot of people do that. And so I just try to be very reserved because I've not had a face-to-face encounter. I've not ever seen one.
I agree. I've been out with a lot of people that everything becomes big really easily.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the print or the impression, and where did you run across that at?
That was in Lassen National Forest up by Buck's Lake, which is in, it's northeast of Sacramento, by a little town called Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
Lassen National Forest, of course, is the home of Mount Lassen, the volcanic national park. Real good activity area. It's near Lake Almanor, in a pretty rugged area. And so I was just hiking around the lake, which is pretty remote, you know, and it was off-season. There wasn't very many people there. I was actually looking for a good place to go fishing, and I came across it, and I was like, wow, what's that?
So do you do this? Does your husband ever go with you on these outings, or is he, being an engineer, is he a city boy?
He's hardly a city boy. He was a great mountaineer for a long time, and he has gone with me on many occasions. It's just right now the job he has, he's traveling a lot, and so it's very, very busy for him. But we went for a really great trip in Mendocino County, which is northwest of the San Joaquin Valley, a rife area rife with activity. If you look into Mendocino County, there's lots and lots of activity. And we heard some strange vocalizations there, too, and we came across some very strange scat. I have some video of it, but my husband just couldn't stop saying the F word. I'm like, could you stop? I want to toast this. And then, of course, I actually stepped in it, you know, and it was just kind of a disaster. But I've taken him out before, whether he liked it or not. He likes it. We have a great time.
That's just a natural reaction when you run across a big pile of,
Well, and not only that, but we heard a kind of an oofing sound. Now,
uh-huh.
Bears do that a lot. He's been in the woods his entire life. And so we were trying to discern whether or not we were hearing a bear. But then we kind of heard a whooping sound with it. And so we, you know, tried to listen more. And but there were also, Mendocino County has a lot of marijuana growers, and so we have to be always cognizant of that in certain parts of California. And so we didn't want to, you know, get into a situation where it might end up badly.
Right. Yeah, those pot growers are kind of territorial, it seems like.
Yeah. But I've taken him up to the area around Iron Mountain Ridge because it is a real area. There's an Iron Mountain Ridge. I've taken him up there. We've gone hiking up there. We've been to Yosemite. We've been to the Northern Sierras. We've been to Shasta, Mount Shasta, where we actually had a great time. We found this really remote area, and we went out late at night, late night squatching. I have some video of that, too. But we were a little drunk. But anyway, it's a really funny video. And I do some great vocalizations, but he was laughing so hard. I'm like, could you stop laughing? So, yeah, we've gone out and, you know, done quite a bit of it. You know, he would say, oh, yeah, I'm a pro. No, you're not a pro.
And does he have a Bigfoot interest, or did he catch your Bigfoot bug?
He does have an interest because he was born and raised in Oregon. He was born and raised in Fairfield or Gresham. So he, you know, he would hike Mount Hood all the time, and also into Washington, not Rainier so much, but St. Helens, and even north of Rainier. So he thinks he had a few experiences of his own. He doesn't really talk about them openly, just because, you know. Although I forced him to a little bit, because he's much more analytical about it, and much more, I don't want to say skeptical. I think he thinks the possibility is, you know, very much out there. It's just that he's very, you know, analytical, very practical about it. So does he have the bug? Not entirely. I'm working on it.
He's got a little bit of a net.
Yeah.
We're working on getting him, converting him from the Sasquatch coffee first. So.
You know what? He had some the other day, Gunnar, and he loved it. So,
okay.
Yeah, have no fear.
I need a picture.
Well, I'm going to do a video for you this week. Yeah, I'm going to do a video for you this week.
Okay.
So I'll try to get him to
be high.
On it, yeah. he'll probably hide. not do it.
Maybe he'll make an appearance.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, well, I guess we're reaching the top of the hour, so we'll take a short little break, and then we'll come back, and we'll do the drawing for the book.
Do you want to do some readings when we get back? Do you want me to do a reading from – I have one selected from each book.
Yes, that sounds great. So we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Okay, sounds great.
I knew
All right, we're back with J.M. Bailey.
I'm here.
I was wondering for a second.
I just haven't got
Johnny,
me a nice cold beer.
Johnny, who was playing there?
That was Alice in Chains, All Secrets Known.
Yep.
All
right. Off their latest release with the newer singer. Okay, well, it's time to give away a free book, an autographed book at that.
And this would be the first in the trilogy of the, what is it, the Elusive series, right?
The Elusive Trilogy, right.
Trilogy, yes. I was hoping for a fourth book.
Well, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
That's right.
Okay. Here we go. The winner is Keith Cook Carlson.
Yay!
Keith Cook Carlson.
Congratulations.
So we
Great.
Need your shipping. You want to message us your shipping address, you can just private message me and I'll get it to JM and we'll get a book out to you.
Wonderful.
Yes. It sounds like the book has been doing well
mm-hmm.
inside the Bigfoot community and out, huh? It seems like it's a big success. I know Randy Filipovic gave a rave review of it online.
Yeah, I went and looked at Amazon, and it was getting rave reviews. So.
I think it's got like 4.6 stars out of 5. So yeah,
who gave it less than 5?
Oh, I have like a 1 star and a couple of 2 stars. But, you know, I don't take that personally at all. Not everyone's going to like this kind of story or book.
Yeah. Well, I loved it. It's one of my favorite Bigfoot books of all time.
Oh, that's great to hear.
So, yeah, no, they're good. I can't stress. I'm sick of the reality piece to it, where the relationship with the Bigfoot people and it's a nice topic, a breath of fresh air in Bigfoot book writing.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that. I like to think of it too as a, you know, it's a very unique, a unique story.
Yeah, Randy said he couldn't put it down.
Yeah, he really liked it. A lot of people like Eve better than, you know, of course, the first one. Because the second one, Anna, the protagonist, is much different in the second book. She's very determined. I think you probably saw that, Gunnar, with Storyline.
It's a toss-up for me. I like the action. I mean, it's pretty nonstop in Iron Mountain Ridge.
Uh-huh.
To start off and just rocks through the whole thing. So
yeah,
and I'm now should I read it faster because I have to wait for the next one and now somebody put a cliffhanger in there.
Well, there's 3 of them that are gigantic.
Oh no,
3, yeah.
I may just go to sleep till the beginning of next year.
Well. That's why I was trying to get people to, because I had a lot of inspiration working through Eve and Iron Mount Ridge in music, and I was trying to get some people to help me find a good song to get me going on Elusive, and so I'm still kind of looking for that, although I'm doing pretty good without one right now, but you know, I'll find one eventually that'll, you know, kind of connect with the story.
It looks like the one picture that I think it's the latest film shot from Eve, where it looks like she's being carried away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea of kind of the premise. If you look at some of the film shots, you'll get the idea. So.
Well, I've had a couple of people comment on that, like, "Oh, she's getting taken away, Bigfoot bride." No. Not even.
It's not Bigfoot porn. I'm sorry.
No.
I know some people would be, you know, that might
be
their
thing. You had that accusation thrown at me several times. Are you kidding? I'm like, I had it thrown at me by somebody who supposedly interviewed me and did an article on the book, and he didn't even read the book. I'm like, whatever.
It's obviously not.
No, not even.
Not that there isn't a Bigfoot that seems to be attracted to her, I'm just saying. I don't want to
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Anyway.
So, read the book.
Yeah. What a unique deal.
Yeah.
A Bigfoot book that's not a slasher book. It sounds like a great deal, and everyone around me has said great things about it, so I'm going to have to read it myself.
And you, as well you should. Your life won't be complete till you've read Eve. And I
Wow. That's a lot of pressure.
It's just
a lot of pressure. And you've drank, and you've also had to have a couple of cups of sesame scum.
Exactly, while you're reading it.
Yeah. That's right.
That actually sounds like a good idea. That's sounds like the perfect way to get yourself back into your, you know, Bigfoot groove, because there's a huge standstill right now or some sort of, I don't know what is going on, but some coffee and a good Bigfoot book sounds like a nice way to bring it all back.
That's
right. I think that's a great idea.
Full immersion.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool that
you're fully immersed, too. I like the fact that you go out in the woods, you research, you're a part of the online community.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel right about writing something so raw without doing it, you know, without going out there and feeling. Because, like, when I started writing Eve, I actually wrote it, I hand wrote it in a notebook. Because I didn't want to sit in front of a computer on, you know, a Word and be able to cut and paste or delete or anything. I wanted the emotions to be raw as I felt them.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I have about 4.5 notebooks full of Eve, and Iron Mount Ridge is about 6 notebooks. And so that's how I think I'm, you know, feel like I need to do it. It's just handwriting it.
I like that way. Actually, I think it brings a whole lot more, you know, personality to it. And I also prefer to write handwritten. And, you know, that's a thing of the past pretty much now. But
yeah, no, I agree. And I think it's very much a lost art.
Yeah, it is. And that's a shame, too. I couldn't put as much of myself into something in front of a bright lit screen as I could with a pen and a piece of paper.
Right. And, you know, as I go, when I'm done writing, and of course I have to put it into a Word document, I find that it's that much more fulfilling when I'm typing it from what I've written, because then I can elaborate and can change stuff around based on what I'm reading off of my notebook or from my notebook.
And I also feel the same way about a physical book as opposed to, I don't know, there's something about holding it and flipping the pages and the smell of a book. That's so weird, I know, but I prefer a physical book to a bright lit screen as well if I'm going to read a story or, you know, anything.
I totally agree.
I totally agree, Crystal. There's something, you know, feeling it and smelling the ink, and it's not the same experience reading on an electronic device.
Right.
So, Jam, were you an aspiring author before you were inspired to write Eve, or what did you do for a living before Eve?
Well, you know, I shouldn't say everyone, but I think there's a lot of people out there that go, I'd like to write a book, you know. And I think that if you have a creative mind and you can spin a good yarn, a lot of people, you know, really want to do it. And I've certainly tossed a round idea. I mean, but not seriously, no. So I got to tell, like I said before, I didn't go after the story. It really just came to me and overtook me I was consumed with it once I got started thinking about Anna. And I didn't even have anyone named or anything like that at the point. But I was just really consumed with the whole story. So it really came to me. And I've talked to other authors who have had the same experience. And, you know, because a lot of people try really, really hard to write books. And so it was just really a fluke. I mean, that's the only thing I can describe it as. It was not anything planned. And I certainly didn't expect the reaction after. And I have an incredible fan base. Like, I have, like, the best fans in the world, I swear. I get some jerk on there who'll do whatever, and, boy, you know, they just immediately come to... It's just really nice. The whole... it's just been a really great experience, and I'm so grateful that people love this story as much as I do, because it's very near and dear to my heart, obviously, and it just does... It's so... it just does my heart good to know that everyone, you know, so many people love the story and are so excited about the film. And I think even Cast Studios was surprised by the outpouring that occurred with the, when we said, hey, we got a film. And, you know, cause I have a job that I do outside of this, obviously. I wish it was that successful that I didn't have to, but it's not. And so I really have to, you know, try to balance that. And it's just been a great experience. I have nothing but good to say about it. I can't say nothing but good because there's been some situations that, of course, you know, everyone encounters on social media that you're like, what? And then you get past it because otherwise it will consume you. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Did you want to read from your book?
Sure, you bet. I can read from Eve. I have an excerpt picked out from Eve, and then I also have one picked out from Iron Mountain Ridge. I don't know how, you know, what you guys want to do, if you want to do both or.
Well, time permitting, we could do both.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I didn't let my cat in the room here. She's making a lot of noise, so forgive me. She won't go out now. Oh, they're the most stubborn animals in the world, are they not?
Okay. We're not allowed cats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, noisy. They know you're on the phone, and it's like, oh, pay attention to me. All right, so this part I'm going to read in Eve is chapter 3, and it's called The Gamble. And at this point in the story, Anna finds herself face-to-face with this large female Bigfoot who she comes to name Eve. She's terrified, but she's also determined to do what she can to make the best and the most of the situation. So, you know, she really has to draw on every bit of strength she has to get through this. And I apologize ahead of time if there's any swear words. I'll try to bleep them out if I get to them quickly enough.
Oh, let them fly. We're all adults here.
I know, but, you know, I it's just one of those things. Okay, so this is chapter 3, The Gamble. And forgive me if you hear a meow in the background. That's my cat agreeing with me. The crisp fall air hit me with a thud and then a chill. I kept my eyes down, looking at the muddy mess that was the road. Already my long blondish curls were tousled and the wind swished gently through my hair as I quickly stepped down and out, holding onto the door frame. My stomach dropped, my breathing hitched, and my throat seemed to close as my mouth became dry as a bone. No sound but the breeze and the tree boughs as it pushed them around. The sun was higher now, and I looked up quickly, then back down. It was still there, and I wanted to cry. I was so scared. I gripped the door frame more firmly, mostly to keep from falling down, and cleared my throat. Hello? Came out a hoarse whisper. Nothing but the wind. My thoughts pulsed with denial. It wasn't real. It was gone. It was a stump. I had just greeted an inanimate object. I pushed myself, still keeping my eyes averted, and said louder, "Hello, I'm Anna." My breath caught as I heard the slightest and smallest of rustles. Oh, God, it moved. It was deliberate stealth, just the slightest shift and turn. The air around me seemed to shimmer, and a deep quaking gripped my body as I shook uncontrollably. A puff of wind hit my face, and I smelled the most rancid, curdling stench creeping up my nose and down my throat. My gorge rose, and I gagged, fighting the urge to violently vomit. No doubt now, this was the real deal. Their smell was famously documented. As quickly as the wind brought the smell of it, another puff caressed my face, now beaded with cold sweat, bringing the fresh smell of vibrant pine. I gasped quickly, trying to cleanse the remains of the putrid odor out of my sensory system. I was still shaking, my body jerking with spasms as I fought the overpowering urge to flee from the unbelievable, surreal scene I was now faced with. I fought to calm myself, struggling like I had never done before, knowing if I didn't get a goddamn handle on my reactions, one of a million scenarios I had already played in my head would likely happen. Still gripping the doorframe, my palms slick with icy sweat, I stilled myself. How was I not unconscious? How was I still standing, hoping to interact with it? Hell if I knew. I only experienced the overwhelming desire to flee, fighting with the incomprehensible need to complete what I had started. I pushed my mind forward, focusing on what I would do next. Make contact. I forced my hand to release its death grip on the door and slowly moved it in front of me, extending it out, palm up. My head still lowered, I said quietly, "Please, I need help." What happened next astounded my very being. Instead of hearing the sound of a presence walk up the mountain and away, a loud crack of a breaking tree branch filled the air and a great huffing sound hurtled down at me as the branch glanced off my bumper and crashed to the ground. I jumped and cringed at the same time and waited for more, but only silence surrounded me. I looked up and saw it now stood about 30 yards above, its head cocked down towards me. The sun was still blinding, and I could only make out a massive shape that seemed well over my 5'9" frame. I lowered my eyes immediately, not wanting to challenge its domain or have a tree land on me. "Please, help me." I called out again and held my breath, waiting. Time seemed to stop, and I had no idea how long I stood, arm extended. Suddenly, all hell broke loose. I felt, rather than saw, it bound giant leaps down the slope toward me, crashing through the brush and undergrowth, a low growl erupting, escalating to an ear-piercing screech. Hot warmth started in my crotch and spread down my legs. Frozen, all I could do was whimper, tears spilling down my cheeks. Then, silence. That's all you get.
Aww.
I have to read the book.
I do have to read the book.
Haven't we all had that experience about Squatch?
We will. We'll have to read the book aligned with each other and do like a book club or a weekly meetup to discuss.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. I actually went to a book club that they had done that, just one that, and it was a lot of fun.
Someone always reads ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
And from what we hear of the book so far, I don't know that everyone wouldn't do that because it seems like they say they can't put it down, so.
Yeah, every chapter pretty much has, you know, you've got to turn the page because you got to see what happens next.
Yeah, that's not happening, the whole book club thing. Unless you want to do a book club for a week.
Yeah, right, we could do that.
Nice.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of people ask me how I came up with the name, or with the name of the book, Eve. And, you know, I of course, addressed that in the book. But it was really hard for me to come up with the title because, I had several different ideas in my head. And I think that There's this other books out there called by the name of Eve, which is really weird. In fact, there's one out there with the exact same font as this one. It's the weirdest thing. But, of course, it's not a Bigfoot book. But anyway, Anna, you know, is out in this beautiful wilderness that she kind of sees as the Garden of Eden. And so she kind of goes through that whole thing and comes up with the name of Eve. And that part, luckily, is in the film.
Okay.
Well, next. Are we still here?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm here.
I just got really quiet. That was an awkward silence brought to you by Sasquatch Coffee. That's why I had to put a plug in.
That's cool.
You were gonna read.
I want to. I feel like I want to read it when I'm out in the woods alone.
Oh.
There you go.
Well, you know, I after reading like the after reading it, after writing, and then rereading and writing and rereading, I've had people ask me, "Don't you get creeped out in the woods now?" And you know, there's parts in the book that, you know, are very harrowing, hair-raising, you know, situations. And so, you know, I do get kind of creeped out a little bit thinking like, oh, my God, what if that happened? And so I don't know. I wouldn't read it out in the woods.
Why don't you go ahead and do that, Johnny, and let me know how it works out.
Yeah. I want a good Bigfoot scare. Everyone has these great stories. I need to have my Bigfoot experience.
In the woods while reading a Bigfoot book.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great setup.
Yeah.
Go all in.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So that's awesome. So
you have an excerpt from Iron Mountain Ridge?
I do. We can read that as well. Also, like, if anyone has any questions, I'm happy. I haven't been able to kind of keep track of what's in the chat room. But, you know, if anyone has questions, for sure we can, you know, talk about those too, so... anyway, okay, so Iron Mountain Ridge picks up right where Eve leaves off. And so Anna goes back up into the mountains. Without giving away what happens in Eve, Anna returns to find Eve and her family again, and she's again faced with a whole bunch of different circumstances that are really quite crazy and overwhelming. Anna does bring her husband with her in the second book. And so this excerpt I'm going to read now is from, I forgot which chapter I'm in, chapter 6, which is titled Dangerous Liaisons. And so this is a part where Anna and her husband are up in the mountains, and they're among Eve and part of her family. And so there's, I'm going to read something about a supposed activity that occurs with Bigfoots, and then we can kind of talk about it after because it's kind of interesting. Okay, so Anna is chasing after Eve, and here's what happens. Behind me, I heard David's approach. The squawking stopped abruptly, and I watched in agonized terror just as the three of them melted into the trees. Just like that, and they were completely hidden. It was deathly quiet, and my brow broke into a cold sweat. Anna, David cried out, crashing through into the meadow. He rushed over, kneeling in front of me. I was sure I was white as a ghost. Honey, are you all right? His hands gripped my arms. I felt dizzy, almost like I'd been subjected to more of their body-stopping ability, but at a much lower frequency. I needed to warn him, but suddenly it seemed like too much effort to even open my mouth. My head lolled to the side, and I blinked sleepily. David shook me gently. Jesus, Anna, what happened? I blinked at him, confused. What had happened? God, they must be messing with me somehow. With everything I could muster, I shook my head and snapped my head back. It popped loudly. I exhaled a huge huff of air. At least I didn't feel like puking this time. Don't move. Just stay right where you are, I managed in a hoarse whisper. He tensed and his head jerked side to side quickly. David, I hissed. Get a grip now. I could feel the effort as he stopped looking around spastically. I also felt hot sweat on my arms from his hands, yet he shivered ever so slightly. A whistle broke the eerie silence, and we both jumped so hard we hit heads. That broke us out of the state we were in, and I stood up before he could. I struggled to speak. David is here with me. Please don't hurt him. I was amazed at how even my voice sounded. Stay down, I motioned to him with my hand. Please. Eve, Bera, Miyaka. I sensed the big male had stealthily departed for whatever reason. Thank God, I thought, even though I was sure he wasn't far. I could feel David's astonished gaze on my face. Give me your hand, I said quietly. He hesitated and I cursed, reaching down, fumbling for it. I grasped it in mine. It was still hot and sweaty, and I knew he was terrified. Stay still, please. He's my husband. He won't hurt you, I lied. He might hurt them if he could, but he wouldn't be successful. They'd knock him on his ass so quickly he wouldn't know what hit him. I felt a strange sense of peace knowing that, given how he treated Miyaka. Maybe we could all get along now, and he would see how incredible all of this was. It was amazing to me now, knowing anything similar was just plain unheard of, that I'd found them, and they were trying to find me. Most amazing things that are also rare, however, don't last, and this was one of them. There was a thrumming sound to my right, and I heard heavy yet light footsteps headed towards us. I turned to look just as the young auburn male, Eve's son, bold and huge and pure muscle, swooped like a mountain lion into the clearing, skidding to a stop just yards from both of us. He crouched low to the ground and growled menacingly. That's how you get at that one.
I've had a little bit more of, I'm a little past there. So.
Yeah, so as you can see that there's, you know, there's some names in there. There's reference to different, you know, different individuals of Eve's clan or her family or whatever you want to call them. So, you know, that's all established in the first book.
That's cool. Well, which book is longer?
Iron Mountain Ridge is longer. So I think Eve's 164 pages. Iron Mountain Ridge is like 234.
Okay.
But in that scene there, it's an incident of there being zapped.
Right, that's what I was referring to. Yeah, right. And there's a lot of controversy on it, but I've read so much about it, and it's very intriguing for me. And, you know, I've actually had a couple of instances out in the woods where I thought maybe something like that has happened, but more than likely it's just myself freaking myself out. But I find it an intriguing possibility, because if it's something like infrasound or whatever, there's other animals that do use that. And so I decided to incorporate it into both books. And it's much more prevalent in the second book because Anna finds herself among more Bigfoots.
Well, and the idea of zapping, I like the way that you made a reference to that people use the word zapping and it has some kind of negative connotation to
right.
it, you know, and it is, there is that in the Bigfooting. It's like, just say the behavior, don't give it a, you know, a Star Wars
right.
name. Yeah.
Right, because it kind of brings out like the comical alien type, you know, like an alien zapped you or something like that.
Right.
So, yeah, and I think I even referenced that in the beginning of the book.
Yeah, it's just there. I know several people that have had experiences where they've been incapacitated. You know, when they think that it's in association with bipedal footsteps and
yeah.
So it is something that people experience.
Yeah.
I've not experienced it myself, but.
Right. Yeah, I know of one circumstance of someone pretty close to me that they were up in the mountains and, you know, just doing their thing backpacking, and they actually lost some time, and like about an hour and a half, they made a wrong turn on a trail and ended up getting kind of turned around, and they remember a very strong smell of like a really bad body odor, and then they lost some time, and then all of a sudden they were back down on the trail. So that, you know, when I heard of that situation, I was like, whoa, think of the possibilities there. And I, too, have, you know, talked to many people who claim that they've been incapacitated, they get sick, you know, headaches, vomiting, they can't move, that kind of thing. So I just find it an intriguing possibility.
Got to be a scary thing to see something bigger than you are that you've never seen before in your life.
Right, for sure. Oh, yeah, that's enough to scare you silly right there to where you can't move or breathe or anything. That happens a lot with just everyday stuff, not much less a Bigfoot.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, though, that the infrasound or zapping or whatever it is a lot of people I've talked to that experience it are not experiencing fear. It's, you know, they've been in their tent, you know, one gentleman was in his cabin, had plenty of guns. It wasn't like he had been around all manner of animal, and this was something different. So I got nothing but it.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
It's a weird.
And in some of the instances, I don't think it necessarily accompanies a visual necessarily.
Right.
No. Sometimes I guess they're taking for granted that there may be something within the perimeter or area causing that to happen.
Right. I've read a lot of that too. But it's, like I said, it's an intriguing possibility. It's something like what I tried to do in both books is, you know, I've read a lot of encounters about what people say they've seen or heard or witnessed or been a part of even, and, you know, use my own imagination to say, well, let's take that further, you know, not a specific example, but just the general concept of it. Take it further and say, okay, well, what if Sasquatch really does do this? How else, what else would happen beyond, you know, what little we know or what little we've seen? And so that's where, especially in the second book, I really dive head first into that and, you know, come up with all sorts of crazy things.
Did the second book come easier?
I'm sorry?
Did the second book come easier for you?
Oh, to write?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, I fought that, battled it. Oh, it was painful. Because, you know, I had such a really great response to Eve. I thought, oh, my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to write a sequel to this? And so it took me a good, so I published Eve in December of 2012. It took me until probably July of 2013 before I could really get going on the sequel. And I tried several times. But I happened to start listening to a band called Civil Twilight. And they have a song called Letters from the Sky. And it really just, I don't know, I just really latched onto it. And once you read Iron Mountain Ridge and if you listen to that song, to me it was kind of like, wow, that's a complete circle there. That's kind of what the book, you know, the emotion that comes out in the song is kind of what the emotion that's there in the book, too.
Yeah,
so because
a little bit of inspiration.
In the second book, Anna has to make a tremendous, I mean, an overwhelming decision about something that she, you know, it's really a crucial part of her life that she has to make a big decision about. And so, And that, you know, I'm not going to give away kind of what it is because it's pretty profound. And so that song kind of brought it back home.
Oh, are you talking about when she? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you say what? What? I would have denied it anyway. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what? Mm-hmm. What book were you reading?
Yeah, that's not my book.
But there, I like the way you describe. I mean, you addressed like things like, I mean, that they're aware of their covering up their presence. They're aware of, you know, their footprint. They're aware of where when they defecate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, if you, Gunnar, you know this in the second book. So not only am I speaking first person with Anna,
mm-hmm.
I actually speak third person as one of the Sasquatches. So I took a huge gamble on that. Oh, my God. And my editor was like, WTF. I said, be patient.
Oh.
Let me get through this. Just be patient. And it actually, I think it came out pretty dang good.
Yeah, it did. I think it worked.
Yeah.
The way
yeah.
you did it.
I think so, yeah. I was really nervous about that because, you know, I mean, it's crazy enough to be in Anna's head and try to write what she's feeling, but I mean, yeah, I'm going to jump into the head of a Sasquatch. Good God.
I know, when I first read the first section like that, I was like, well, that's pretty cool the way that.
Oh,
that was an interesting twist. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad to hear you say that because again, I was, you know, I get really nervous.
I really found with just about every kind of artist, they're always their own worst critic.
Oh
know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There were times before I published Eve, I would read it and I would think, what? This is a piece of crap. I can't publish this. And then other times I'd be like, oh, this is really good. And so it would vacillate, I mean, like back and forth, and then, you know, one time I threw the book across the room, I was so pissed off, I'm like, how could I, and then, you know, you just have to reconcile it with yourself, because it's really such an intimate thing to do, really, if you think about it, because you're letting people into your brain,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they're reading what you're thinking, and so it's really trippy. Like, I can't even explain it to you. Like, you know, it's just really weird. So, yeah, you know, I did battle with myself over and over again. And I finally, but I'm the type of person, once I jump in to do something, I do it full board. I don't, you know, say, oh, I changed my mind. I just did it. I did it. And I'm delighted I did, because look at all the great things that have come out of it. You know,
Right.
It was a huge gamble, and I managed to, I think, make it into a really good thing. I've been very proactive. Like, one of the things that I do is I have drawings for free books a lot. And
mm-hmm.
I do that on purpose. Like, I've seen some other authors, they don't really, you know, promote their books all that well. They just kind of sit back and think, oh, yeah, people will buy it if they want. You really, I mean, part of this whole thing is you got to sell your product, obviously. I mean, Gunnar,
mm-hmm.
you know that, for God's sake.
Yeah, got to market, promote.
Yeah. Yeah, and so part of the way I do that is I have drawings for my books, and it's a great way to reach out to your fans and to people who have been like, I really always wanted to read this, thank you, and it just really helps, I think, build a foundation.
Well, and if they read the book, they're going to want to see the movie, so.
Yeah, for sure, and that, of course, yeah, it'll go forward from there.
And buy some Sasquatch popcorn.
You know, that's the thing. I was coming out. I wanted to have like some Sasquatch candies at my vendor table, like not to sell, just for people to eat.
Right.
I'll be damned if I can't find anything, nothing except for
no.
those stupid foot ones that look like, I don't even know what they look like. They don't look like Bigfoot. Do you know
no,
of anything, Gunnar?
Where did somebody got me some Bigfoot poop?
Oh, I know, not that. Yeah.
It's chocolate mint, but it was kind of funny. Yeah.
Well, they also have chocolate-covered peanuts, and my
yeah.
husband brings me home every bit of Bigfoot paraphernalia he can find. When he's there. And
okay.
I've got like Bigfoot shrines all over my house. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, but I was looking, like, there's some company makes Bigfoot mints, but they only do it around Halloween. So it's like,
huh.
What a great starting project. Somebody wants to get out and make some money. I bet there's a good market for that, or there could be.
Hmm.
I mean, really.
Yeah, there's potential.
Yeah.
I would buy Bigfoot candy.
I know. I would have Bigfoot candy.
I would buy
all
Bigfoot
the time.
Candy.
I think we all
would also buy Bigfoot popcorn. You said Bigfoot popcorn, and then all of a sudden I have this vision of coffee-sprinkled popcorn, which I know it doesn't sound good, but somebody could, you know, make it better than what my original vision is here. People buy that stuff. They eat it up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, they got Bigfoot everything else. Why not?
I know.
I resemble that remark.
So what's next for JM? I know you got your book in the works.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything else planned?
Well, like Dominic said, at the end of September, we're going to start on the screenplay adaptation of the book, the whole book, for Eve.
Okay.
We've gone back and forth whether or not we're going to combine the first two books into one screenplay. I think that was the original plan. But now, since the response to the film has been so great, I think Dominic's vision has changed. And they're now called Long Road Film Company. And so Long Road Film Company's vision is, I think, that we're going to adapt Eve into an individual screenplay for a feature-length film. So that starts in September. And I'll be a big part of that because I'm not going to release any rights to anybody or anything, regardless of what happens with the movie. I want to be a part of the process. So, you know, now that I'm committed to this, I can confidently say for the next 2 years I'm going to be pretty much enveloped in Eve at the film. I'm going to be
nice.
Eating, drinking, breathing, sleeping Eve, the film.
Awesome.
And then, you know, I want to do the audio book. I'm getting that third book underway. So, you know, just I think that's quite a bit right there.
Nice. You going to be doing any squatching?
I'm going to sure try. You know, I took some extra time when I go up to Willow Creek. I have the festival's only on one day, but I'm going to be actually up there for 5 days. And so I have some extra time. I'm going to hook up with some friends up there and hopefully go into the Bluff Creek drainage. And then I have a trip planned for October. September, I don't think I'll be able to do much because I'll be prepping for the trip to, you know, to work on the screenplay. But October, I have a trip planned back up into Lassen National Forest. My area that I normally go to, the Iron Mountain Ridge area, is only an hour away from me. So I can actually do day trips up there, which I do quite frequently.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Is the Bluff Creek drainage the Patterson-Gimlin site?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys are familiar, but they have a trail cam project going on right there, and I think that while I'm up there, they're going to go check some of the trail cams. So I'm going to try to go.
I know Jeff Kelly's involved in that, and Steve Supert, and...
Yeah, and a few other people. I'm also going to try to do, I'm going to try to go over Bald Hills Mountain Road. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that road, but I've been over it one time before. It's the location of several encounters and sightings, and I'm going to try to do that. And it actually goes over the mountains there, the coastal range of the mountains from the Bluff Creek drainage area and then over. And it lands you in the Redwoods, which is, the Redwoods are, I've gone up to the Redwoods several times. They're amazing. And there's so many different trail systems in the extreme northwest corner of California. And, of course, southwest Oregon, too. The Redwoods are just phenomenal. I mean, you could literally just spend days in there. So cool. So that's kind of the plan. Yeah.
That's nice that you got spots that are close to home, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm very lucky. Very lucky.
I have to go about 3 hours to get somewhere really good.
Yeah, so you can still do that, you know, in a day. I mean, it would be a long day, but that is a long way.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, they're all around me.
You're in the heart.
Actually, last time I flew
from Portland back down here, I got a window seat, and we flew along. I thought, oh, my God, look at that forest down there. It was crazy. I forget how thick it is. And, of course, I've been all throughout the coastal range of Oregon and Washington and the Olympic Peninsula, Mount Rainier, Mount St. Helens, Mount Hood, all of it. But I just forget how thick it is. Because here in California, it's much drier down here, so we don't have all the undergrowth that's up there. But, boy, you guys get some thick stuff.
Yes, we do.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, you're surrounded by squash.
Yeah, well, I can get out to the west if I have a boat.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I've got the ocean about seven blocks away, so.
Yeah, you kind of have that ocean that gets in the way.
Yeah, it's not very good squash territory. Do I hear they swim?
I know. Finding Bigfoot was just here in Minnesota. They did a private meeting. And then I think now they're in Pennsylvania filming. So they got another season in the works.
Were you able to go to the one in Minnesota?
No, but a guy I know, Abe, who runs the Minnesota Bigfoot Research Team.
Yeah. Abe Del Rio.
He got invited.
Not so long ago. Oh, yeah. No, I saw the pictures. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a private kind of invite thing and a private town hall meeting they did up north.
Oh, wow.
They didn't invite you? I think something's wrong. Something's wrong. It's a conspiracy.
limited seating. So they must do some private, some public. I don't know how it works, but...
Yeah, I don't either.
Hopefully they got some
action
up there.
I don't really follow those guys too much. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be cool.
Because last time they were here, I know the mosquitoes ate Bobo alive. So he didn't... His bacon cooking didn't quite lure him in.
It lured in all the mosquitoes.
Yeah, I stopped watching for a while, but I'll watch every now and then, though.
Yeah, I do, too.
Love it. Well, anything Bigfoot.
I think this is the last season that they're filming right now.
Oh, really? I keep hearing every year it's the last season. Is this for sure, or what?
I have a little more. Yeah, I have a little bit of in there. So, yeah, I'm this
so that's
is it.
Why
yes, you do, don't
too.
You, Gunnar? That's right, yeah.
Yeah. I always said it. I said in the first season, this, you know, that eventually this format can't go on forever.
Right.
Okay. So.
Well, it's been forever.
Yeah.
Five years.
That's
Who'd
a long
thought?
Time. I mean, that is crazy long. I didn't realize it had been that long.
Yeah.
It's spawned quite the interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, one thing, I know they've had 1.5 million viewers at different times, so.
Yeah, that's pretty popular.
Wow. That's very nice. Yeah, I don't even, they're kind of just on the down low when they show up at certain places, huh?
Yeah, I think they do that on purpose because they don't want, you know, they don't want somebody to go out and hoax on them while they're trying to
film
the show.
Yeah, that would definitely be a problem.
Right.
Hey, guys, I just looked. I got to get off the phone here in just a couple of minutes because I actually have a dinner date. So I wanted to one thing I wanted to mention, if anyone is looking for the fan page on Facebook for Eve, there's actually two of them, one's for the film and then one's for the book. So the one that's for the film says the film, and then the other one just says the book. Just so you know, there's two of them out there. And I know I've had some people ask me, like, which one's, what's going on here, why is there two? So we decided to do a second one for the film so that people, like, more of the cinema group could go and check that out because of the production company and, you know, their following. Not
so
to discourage anybody from going to it at all, but it's just kind of a separate one.
So like them both.
Yeah.
So how do you find the film page? Because if I type in Eve, the book comes up, but I don't see the film.
If maybe type in Eve film.
I'll do some more looking.
Yeah, and I'll post it on my page too. Let's see, Eve. Oh, see, it comes up the second. Type in Eve movie.
Oh, movie.
Yeah, type in Eve movie and see if it comes up there. No. Okay, I'll post. I don't know why it doesn't come up. I'll post a link on my page for it.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, and then I can post it on Monster X Radio too.
Very cool.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks you guys so much. Really quick, does anyone have any questions or anything that they wanted to ask? I'm happy to, you can always message me or, I'm happy to talk more about the endeavor at any time.
I don't see any questions in the chat room.
Okay.
So.
Yes, thanks for joining us. That was great.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for having me and Dominic on. We really love to get on. As you can tell, I'm not shy. I don't want to wait for stuff to say. we're very excited about our project and very excited about the books and everything that goes along with it. And, again,
yeah,
I'm happy to sign books and watch for some more giveaways. I'll have another giveaway right before Bigfoot Festival Days. But you have to like my page, so it's the Facebook/Eve. It should come up with the book or the movie, but you can like either one of them because I can draw from either one of them. So.
Very good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Anyway, yeah, but thanks again. I had a great time. I hope everyone enjoyed the readings and listening about the film, and you can check out the clip from the film on my webpage, my website, and also get the books there. And I look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
Okay. Thanks, Jadam.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
You just have a great evening. Thanks again.
You too.
You too.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Is she gone? Can we talk about her now?
Got it.
Well, that was nice.
She did.
No, I'm inspired to read the book.
That was
exciting. Okay, I guarantee you'll enjoy it or your money back. I'll trade for coffee if you don't like it.
Well, after seeing Randy's review of it, I was like, yeah, that sounds sweet. And once I finish up Real Wolfman here by Linda Godfrey, that'll be my next one, I think. I'll tackle that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I started on that Bigfoot book titled Bigfoot, and, I feel like I have to finish it now. So, but yeah, I might go ahead and grab those two books for now and have those up next because it does sound like a good book. And it's interesting. It's being made into a movie, and then
mm-hmm.
that'll put up the, there's always a crowd who prefers the book to the movie in most of those cases. So we'll see how that goes. And that's exciting that the movie's going to be submitted to the Sundance Film Festival.
Right.
Yeah, Dom seems like a real professional.
Yeah, he was cool to talk with.
Sounds like the best place to get the books is at Iron Mountain Ridge .wordpress.com.
Yes, that's where I think I'll be going.
Yeah.
And that's her site.
And her site. And you get them signed, so.
Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah,
even better.
But
yes.
Both my copies are signed, so. It's a good book. I like the idea of there being a Bigfoot movie that isn't like Bigfoot monster movie. So, and I like Willow Creek, but it had a monster movie feel to it too. So.
I'm interested in a Bigfoot book that has a storyline and not isn't so much study guide.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
becoming very tiring.
And congrats again to Keith for winning the book.
Keith, you need to get with us and give us your mailing address or your shipping address so we can get you that book out.
Yeah, contact us in the Monster X Radio Facebook group, and next week we're going to have author and Florida Bigfoot investigator Robert Robinson on the show.
Cool.
He's been doing some work lately with Tim Fasano and some other guys down there in the swamps, and he's got a book out as well. So that should be good. And
next weekend I'm going to Hopsquatch weekend, and Stacy Brown is coming to do the program, so that'll be interesting.
Oh, cool.
I'm spending the weekend with my team is going up and meeting with the Olympic Project team, so, and we'll swing it back through Portland on the way back to get Hopsquatch.
Cool. Thank you, everyone, for joining us in the chat room, too.
Yeah.
Have a good crowd tonight.
Very good. I wasn't able to follow all the activity in the chat room.
Yeah, JM was really great guest. I just love her vibe, everything. The best part is she's into Bigfoot. You know, she goes out researching. She interacts with people online. You know, she's easy to reach, down to earth.
Yeah.
Check out the book. And we'll see you guys next week.
All right. Thanks, John. Thanks, Crystal.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, we'll
bye-bye.
See you, Gunner.
See ya.